Well, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tonight, and so if you'll open your Bibles to that passage, 2 Corinthians 4, we'll be looking at just the first seven verses of this chapter tonight. We always say we'll have a brief message, and I hate to use those words because sometimes it lasts all the way up to the normal time of 7 o'clock. You say, I thought it was brief, but we'll try to keep it short tonight. There's so much in these verses. Most of us would never think we could be effective in our ministry or in our Christian walk as the Apostle Paul was. Paul wrote 13 of our New Testament books. Some would argue he wrote 14 if they want to include him as the writer of Hebrews. But he learned the Old Testament law at the feet of Gamaliel growing up. He was gloriously saved. God stopped him in his tracks on the way to Damascus. And he lived his life by the grace of God and for God's glory alone. At the end of his life, he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, the last epistle that he wrote, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And then Paul adds these words, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And I don't know if you've read through that and say, that's me. I love his appearing. We've been singing songs tonight, maybe today. And as you sang that, did you think it could be today? It could be before the refreshments. That'd be okay with me, wouldn't it, with you? The fellowship time that we have, we can still have the fellowship up there. And we'll have it for eternity. But those who love his appearing, the crown of righteousness is not just laid up for Paul, but for all those who love, who look forward to that appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's look at how Paul served Christ and learn how we can also have effective ministries. There's an elderly lady who lived in the Bay Area of San Francisco. She had a great desire to serve Christ, but she didn't know how she could do that. And so she prayed and just asked the Lord, how can I serve you? How can I be effective in serving you? And she realized that she could be a blessing to others, perhaps by playing the piano. She placed a small ad in the Oakland Tribune. Pianist will play hymns by phone daily for those who are sick and despondent. The service is free. And the notice included her phone number. Well, people called, and she would ask, what hymn would you like to hear? Within a few months of her playing, she brought cheer to several hundred people who had called. Many of them, after listening to the hymn, opened up to her. She had opportunities to lead some to Christ and to minister to them, to encourage them. You look at her and say, she, like Paul, had an effective ministry. And so in these verses, chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, I hope that you'll think about your own ministry, your own service for Christ, and think, how can it be more effective? What can I do for the Lord in the time that he gives me in this life? So the title of the message, How to Serve Christ Effectively, or How to Have an Effective Ministry. First of all, if you're going to serve Christ effectively, like Paul did, you need to first find your strength in God's mercy. A wonderful thought in verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. God strengthens each believer for a particular ministry or service. The word ministry is diakoneion. We get our word deacon from that. This is the noun for ministry. And so a ministry or a deacon is a table waiter. He is a servant. And so ministry is an opportunity to serve Christ. We all have a ministry. We are all servants of the Lord. Don't just think of this as those in full-time ministry or perhaps an evangelist or a missionary. Each one of us has a ministry. We've been through 1 Corinthians 12 before, one of the passages that teaches how every member of the body of Christ has been given a particular gift, and some with more gifts, to edify the body. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12, but the manifestation of the Spirit, that is his manifestation, his demonstration, is given to every man to profit with all. That is to profit the entire body of Christ. And so are you using your spiritual gift to edify the body of Christ? Well, we all have a ministry, an area of service. The Bible says that we're to serve cheerfully. Psalm 102, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. The Bible also tells us that we're to serve willingly. I love the passage in Exodus 21 where it talks about a bond slave. And that bond slave, after he had worked his 6 years, on the seventh year, he could go free. But if he's married someone and he has children, it says in verses 5-6, if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. When I read that, I thought that's as close as I'm going to ever approve of pierced ears. No. The wonderful demonstration. And can you imagine the family as they see dad come home and the wife see her husband come home, and there's that ear that's been pierced through with an awl saying, I'm going to be a bondservant because I love my master forever. We ought to serve willingly. We ought to serve faithfully. John Wesley said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. We ought to be committed to serve the Lord faithfully. God strengthens us for service, particularly in this verse, verse 1, through his mercy, by his mercy. Seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy. A mercy we've defined before as God's goodness shown to those who are in need. One example of a man who was at the end of his own abilities and had great needs, he needed to depend on the Lord, and he found God's mercy sufficient, was the Old Testament character of Job. In James 5:11, we read this, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful, that is, he's full of pity and of tender mercy. And so in Job's life, we see the way that things ended up, God was merciful to him. And God strengthens us through his mercy. It is because of God's strength that we're able to persevere in our service, in our ministry for him. His strength keeps us going. In this verse, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, it ends, we faint not. Now, if you look down in verse 16 of the same chapter, you'll also see another, this repeated, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And the older you get, the more you realize that the outward man is perishing. But there is this inward spiritual man that God gives strength and renews it every day, daily. And because of that, we faint not. To faint is to lose heart, to lack courage, or to quit. God's strength keeps you from fainting. Proverbs 24:16 says, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. No matter how many times you find that you're falling, a just man rises up again. Early in the 14th century, Robert the Bruce, King of Scotland, was hiding from his enemies. He was hiding in a cave. He had lost every battle with England. With few surviving soldiers he had in his army, they were hiding just as he was, and he was ready to quit. The opposing armies were just too strong. And perhaps you've read this or heard this story, but he saw a spider trying to spin a web between two rocks in the cave. The spider fastened one end of her thread to one rock and tried to swing out to the other rock, only to miss, climb back up, and try again. Bruce sat and watched for a long time. He was amazed at the persistence of this little spider. She made seven attempts as he watched. And he thought, if she makes it on the next try, I'll try once more to free Scotland from her enemies. This time, she reached the rock and fastened her thread. Bruce went on to lead his army. His men fought as they had never fought before, and they won the Battle of Loudon Hill. And his country gained their freedom. Today, Bruce is a national hero. Don't quit. Strength to continue is not based in your efforts. It's not based on your abilities. It is found in the mercy of God. So if you're going to serve Christ effectively, as Paul did, you need to find strength in God's mercy. And his mercy is available to each one of us. And it's there. And we can have the strength that he provides. The second thing, if we're going to serve Christ effectively, as Paul did, we need to take a stand for God's truth. Let's look at verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul says, we've spoken out against issues that are wrong. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. To renounce means to speak, to command, or to give a word. It's a vocal word. Against something. We speak up. What has he renounced? The hidden things of dishonesty. Now, hidden things here are concealed or secret things. Contrast that with the phrase later on in the verse, but by manifestation of the truth. Paul is saying, I'm not hiding things. I am laying out all of the truth for you to see. We need to speak up against wrong doctrines. We need to speak up against wrong practices. Specifically, these things that are being hidden things are also things of dishonesty. The word dishonesty there means dishonorable or shameful or disgraceful things. Paul said, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. He's talking about things that were being preached in his day, the false teachers, the ones that were accusing him, where he's having to defend his ministry and his motives and his message in this second epistle of Corinthians. Paul said, we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. If we want to have an effective ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's time we do the same. Paul says, we have not done anything wrong ourselves. He's defending here his motives. We're not walking in craftiness. He was accused of scheming to get people to follow Christ. He was tricking them into following Christ. Our methodology is right, he says, not only our motives, our methods. We are not handling the word of God deceitfully. The word deceitfully has the idea of catching someone in a trap, ensnaring someone. You don't trick people into becoming Christians. You let them know what it means. A lot of people give the message that, oh, you come to Christ and all of your problems will be solved. You'll never be sick a day in your life and you'll be wealthy. That's a false doctrine, philosophy that's being taught. Another popular method of evangelism today is to tell people that they're very valuable to God. So God sent his son because man was worth something. Well, we're worth something only by his grace. That's the twisting of the gospel of grace. Grace is undeserved favor. God sent his son to die, not because we had some merit, some value in ourselves, but only because of his grace. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are totally undeserving of God's grace. And so Paul is saying, we haven't done anything wrong ourselves. Our motives are right. Our methods are correct. And Paul says we've consistently represented God's truth. What were they doing to represent God's truth? He said, we are commending ourselves to every man's conscience. That word commending is an interesting word. It means to set out as you would an exhibit or a display. Our missionaries come in sometimes and they'll have a display table in the back bringing things from their land that where they're ministering for Christ. And it's interesting to see the monies and the different things that they set out. Well, that's the idea behind this word. It's just laying everything out. And how do they commend or set out these things? To every man's conscience. That is, to every man's perception. And so they are honestly laying out the truth of the gospel, the truth of the scriptures, and want people to see them. How do they do that? By manifestation of the truth. Again, an outward display of the truth. We're not hiding things from you. Instead, we're giving you the entire truth. 3 years after 2 Corinthians was written, Paul would repeat this claim in Acts chapter 20, verses 26 and 27. And he says, "Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." He laid it all out before people. That must be the way that we minister too. There will be opposition. There will be those who question your motives and your ministry. But all you have to do is keep laying out the truth. And whether it's a ministry on a foreign field as a missionary or a ministry that you have maybe in your neighborhood, don't be afraid to declare the whole counsel of God, to represent the truth. Why was Paul living this way? He said, because we answer to God. It ends with that phrase, in the sight of God. Paul was effective because he was not concerned what other people thought about him. He was only concerned about what God said. And if we're to be effective in our ministries as well, we've got to be more interested in what God thinks than what people think. So if you're going to serve Christ effectively, as Paul did, you need to find your strength in God's mercy. You need to take a stand for God's truth. And last, in verses 3 through 7, you need to let God's message shine forth. It's an amazing thing when you just simply preach the gospel of Christ. Let people know how they can be a Christian. Let people know what God says about their life and their family and how they're to live. Let's read in verses 3 and 4 first and see the danger of keeping things hidden. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. They're the ones that need to see it most. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Notice Paul calls it here our gospel, he and the rest of the apostles. By believing the gospel of salvation, it had become his. He had received the gospel, and now it was his to take to a lost and dying world. It was his responsibility to tell others. Do you look at it as the gospel that they preach at Grace Baptist Church, or the gospel that Jesus preached? Or do you say, that's my gospel? I have a responsibility to take it to others. He was entrusted with this gospel. Who's responsible for the lost condition of men? It's an interesting verse here that's telling us what's going on about why people are still lost. It says that in whom the gospel is hidden first. Those who preach a false gospel, it's hidden. It's not held out truthfully when it's presented because of that dishonesty. And then Satan, the god of this world, he's the one who blinds the minds of men. And also you have that blind man, Satan is blinding his mind, but he's also refusing to believe that the God of this world blinded the minds of them which believe not. So man can't blame the false teachers. He can't blame Satan for his lost condition. He's had his part in rejecting Christ. He is not believing. He has refused to believe. What's needed for man to be saved then? It's given in our verse, lest the light of the glorious of the glory of the gospel of Christ. Because of the grammatical construction of this phrase, each word describes Christ. So the light of the glory of the gospel of the Christ. Each has the definite article. And so it's the light of Christ, the glory of Christ, and the gospel of Christ. Who is Christ? The image of God. The word here is icon. It means the resemblance, the likeness of God. He's the one who shines in radiance to a lost world. And it's an amazing thing. When you just give your testimony about what Christ has done in your life, people see the light. They see Christ. When you take them to Bible verses, Christ shines unto them. And it's an amazing thing how the power of the gospel can shine into a dark soul and they can respond. Now notice the certainty of the person of Christ in the gospel message. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 5. We preach Christ. We're not trying to win other people to ourselves. We're winning them to Christ. We must view self as secondary in the process of sharing the gospel. Ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. There are many people today who are preaching themselves instead of Christ. Charles Hodge writes this, "To preach oneself is to make self the end of preaching. That is, preaching with the design to attract to ourselves the admiration, the confidence, or the homage of men." Let's not preach ourselves. Let's preach Christ. Let's be faithful in letting people know about him. Now last, we have in verses 6 and 7, the brilliance of the gospel message. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Let's look at the identity of the one who gave us the light. It's God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He's referring to creation. He's the one who said in Genesis 1:3, "Let there be light," and there was light. The powerful Creator God is the one who shines in our hearts. And the impact of that light or that illumination is something spiritual now, not physical. It enlightens our hearts. It shined into our hearts, the central part of man. And the impact of that light is something that is shining in our hearts, enlightening our minds, the light of the knowledge of the glory of the God. And here's the same prepositional construction that we saw back in verse 4, the light of the glory of the gospel of the Christ, each one referring to Christ. Here it's the light of God, the knowledge of God, the glory of God. That's what shines into our hearts. He shows his glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Notice the earthly vessel that bears the light. And it's a wonder that God puts his light in jars of clay. We mentioned that this morning. We're just clay pots. We're just vessels made of mud. An elegant frame doesn't change the value of the painting. A clay pot does not change the value of the light within. In fact, as we said this morning, when we're broken vessels and God brings things into our lives that people are watching, it's the cracks and the breaks that allow the light to shine out. And so often, he breaks us. The wonder of an earthly vessel containing such a light. And then the reason of an earthly vessel containing such a light, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. There's no reason to boast in the vessel, but only in the excellence of the power of Jesus Christ. Do you want to be an effective minister, an effective servant of Christ? Knowing what he's called you to do, specifically in the body of Christ, find your strength in God's mercy. Take a stand for God's truth. Let God's message shine forth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for your word. We're thankful for a servant like the Apostle Paul, who wrote these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful for the example of his life, not perfect, but what a great pattern for us. He said, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And so I pray that you would help us to find our strength in that same mercy that he found his strength in. It will stand as he did against the compromise and the message that was false of that day. Help us to stand against that false theology in our day and stand for God's truth. And help us to allow your message, your gospel, the glorious gospel of Christ, to shine through us, broken vessels, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.